Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show. Conservative news and commentary addressing the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio and television network. How many of you who supported and voted for President Trump last year can imagine that the people who were part of, funded, or otherwise supported the vile, evil, criminal, and traitor Joe Biden and his regime are furiously working to defeat Donald Trump and his supporters once again? And that these same people have every intention, if they get back in power, of once again overturning everything the Trump administration is doing and working for, prosecuting, or should I say persecuting, Donald Trump himself, possibly even with treason charges, and most, if not all, Trump supporters. And this includes the absolute madness of throwing open our borders again and spending billions more of your tax dollars to pour in yet tens of millions more illegal immigrants, use them to vote and or be counted in the census as if they are citizens to bolster the Democrat congressional districts and help create a one-party state tyranny of totalitarian socialist hell. Sound extreme? But there's a lot of evidence for it. Now, as I always emphasize in making statements like these, it's vital in this continuing monumental political struggle of ours that no one engage in any type of violent or illegal activity in response to the grave threats we continue to face to our freedom, way of life, and prosperity. It's not only morally wrong, but it defeats our purpose and plays into the hands of our enemies, who are highly skilled at propaganda used to brainwash members of the public to turn them against the Make America Great Again, or MAGA, movement. That said, we have to recognize our enemies and reveal their true motives and intentions, ripping away their lies and facade of somehow being saviors of America, an America they want to utterly destroy in order to supposedly save it and the rest of the world from their bizarre conception of our country somehow being a fascist police state under Trump. As we all know, the main political and propaganda front and organization for these maniacal globalists, that is, communist totalitarian world government promoters, is the Democratic Party. Although they continue denying it, the current government shutdown imposed on the nation by the Democrats in the U.S. Senate is primarily over demands that the Trump administration reinstate the Democrats' former federal spending provisions, which would, in part, allow for funding health care for illegal aliens, a big part of their political base. From what I saw, Democrat leaders like the detestable Maxine Waters and Elizabeth Warren have both essentially admitted this, despite Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and others continuing to claim otherwise. As I've said previously, the late David Horowitz, himself a former leftist darling of the American establishment, who turned against them and became one of the great thinkers and writers of our time, said several years ago that today's Democratic Party is the Communist Party. Horowitz, you know, his parents were communists. This statement is even more relevant currently, I say, than when Horowitz uttered it years ago. The current shutdown is for me yet another example of the desperation of our communist Democrat fanatics, hell-bent to stop the MAGA revolution and steer the country back toward their devastatingly destructive political, legal, social, and economic policies and activities meant to enrich many of them while destroying and enslaving us common people. Want an example of this? Consider the video put out a few years back by the totalitarian worshiping leaders of the infamous World Economic Forum and posted on that organization's website. Titled, Eight Predictions for 2030, the video caused such an uproar that the WEF took it down off its website. But they haven't changed in their politics, and their objectives. Among those predictions, number one was, quote, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy, close quote. Another of those predictions was that Western civilization countries will have to do a better job of welcoming up to a billion refugees from the third world from around the globe. These people are meant to come into your homes, take everything you have, and take over your home. After all, you are a rich oppressor, whether you're rich or not, who must share everything you have with the world's poor. But of course, these totalitarian ideologues, deluding themselves into believing they're saving the world this way, fully expect to keep their fabulous, often fabulous wealth and privilege and freedoms, because after all, they are our elite leaders who are saving the world. And as writer George Orwell pointed out in his novel Animal Farm, everyone is equal under socialism, but some are more equal than others. With these things in mind, let's begin our video presentation today. First off, you'll see a short clip from the October 2nd The Alex Jones Show with Alex Jones' beginning narrative before a lengthy interview with commentator Emerald Robinson about what they see as a key Trump official, former Trump attorney Todd Blanche, who is now essentially running the U.S. Justice Department, but is also, they say, stonewalling numerous important Justice Department investigations and criminal prosecutions. These are related to election fraud, compensation for the January 6th defendants, prosecution of former Biden administration officials, and other key matters related to promoting the Trump agenda. One of these is the reported killing by Blanche, a former Democrat, of a DOJ investigation into government officials allegedly behind and involved with the political left's ongoing lawfare campaign against Alex Jones, whereby Jones was found liable for an astounding $1.4 billion defamation judgment for supposedly claiming years ago that the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre was a hoax. Jones claims he only related what one commentator was claiming, and then only briefly, I never saw this myself, but have seen Jones repeatedly contending since that he does not believe the massacre was a hoax. Jones has often stated he is being persecuted by Democratic politicians and operatives. The financially ruinous legal campaign against Jones and his embattled Infowars.com website and operation has forced him to declare bankruptcy and endure years of legal, financial, and psycho-emotional hardship and stress. So it's understandable that Jones is demanding mass arrests and criminal prosecutions of those pursuing the legal campaign against him and other Democratic political and economic warfare against Trump and his supporters. During this interview with Emma Robinson, she and Jones agree that bad actors of the so-called deep state are actually drawing up indictments for criminal wrongdoing, up to and including even treason, to be brought against Donald Trump and his supporters immediately upon the hoped-for Democrat return to power in Washington, and are threatening Trump supporters with these. If you want to watch and listen to the entire interview, you can see it by going to the Alex Jones Show on Infowars.com and also on Rumble.com and opening the October 2 show, and you can then watch it. The interview is, I believe, in the third hour of the show. There are also some clips from it posted on these and related websites. Here is the clip.
But I saw the great Emerald Robinson, what a wonderful reporter, independent journalist, former White House correspondent, Newsmax, OAN. She's the host of Absolute Truth, Emerald Robinson, Absolute with E, Real Lindell TV, Emerald.TV, at Emerald Robinson on X. She had Trump's longest-serving lawyer. It would be Roy Cohn, but he died decades ago. But he just backed in his lawyer, too. This is a very close confidant of President Trump, Peter Ticton. And he came on and said what everybody else is telling me, that it's Todd Blanche. Now, I was not told that by Ed Martin, who's investigating the deep state stuff against us. It's been in the news now. Ed's like, oh, I'm not going to. I said, hey, is Blanche the problem? He's like, I'm not. Oh, he's a great guy. By the way, I met with him like 4 hours. I was in D.C. He had to go away for 3 minutes. He goes, speaking of that, he's just calling me. I got to go talk to him. Left for 30 minutes. And I sat there with his crew and looked at documents, you know, drank coffee and ate Oreo cookies, literally. But I got this from other DOJ people and the White House for months that it's Todd Blanche, who was a Democrat until Trump won the election. Then he switched. But he was Trump's lawyer in a bunch of his criminal cases, which, by the way, he lost. And we know he's the one killing it. And look, I was already criticizing him before last week when he found out that Ed Martin was investigating the DOJ, filing lawsuits against me. We have the documents. It's open and shut. That's his mission. That's why they reached out to us. He ordered him to kill the investigation. Oh, yeah, great. But I'm telling you, we're probably going to end up with Ed Martin as the deputy AG here very soon. And we'll just stop right there. But this Todd Blanche is a big, big, big problem. And then I saw Patrick Byrne, who's super dialed in, give his speculation and then say what he does know. But I know what he speculated on is true. Because I talked to people that were in the Virginia deals. They already had the indictments. And then this U.S. attorney 2 weeks ago, who claimed he was a Republican, really a Democrat, dialed in with the Comeys and all of it, killed it. So when Byrne said he heard they already had the indictments, no, they had them. The juries, the grand juries, handed down indictments a month ago. And it got killed and kept from Trump. But then the information was given to Trump. And what's scary is there's so few people. Most of these aren't Marxists and globalists now. They're just scared because you got Hakeem Jeffries and Senator Blumenthal and everybody saying, we're going to arrest you all when we get in. So what they are is cowards. They're cowards. Well, that's okay. We'll step in when people are cowards. So here is Emerald Robinson talking to Trump's longest-serving lawyer, Peter Tichtenberg, just a few days ago.
Unfortunately, we're not getting the cooperation that we need. The one that is running things now in the Department of Justice, Pam Bondi sits at the head of it, but the COO, so to speak, the person who actually runs it, is a Todd Blanche. And Todd Blanche is failing on all measures. Because of him, we haven't had a pardon granted since May. Because of him, he wants the J6ers to not be compensated for all that we put them through. Because of him, we're not getting the things that we need for Dominion machines, et cetera, et cetera. Now, this guy used to be, until January 4th, 2024, he was a Democrat, a registered Democrat. And then he represented Donald Trump on the Stormy Daniels case, that any Democrat would have done the same job. But I don't know that this leopard ever changed its spots, because for some reason, everything that needs to be going forward in order to make Donald Trump's presidency work is being stalled intentionally by this man. And it's not because of ineptitude. This is a smart guy. This is a very capable guy. And it's not because he's not capable. It's because he's intentionally doing things the opposite of what Donald Trump has ordered to be done.
Now, to give you a different perspective on the prospects of the Communist Democrats' possible return to power in the 2026 midterm and 2028 presidential elections, here's a video from a recent podcast show on Dr. Steve Turley's YouTube.com channel. It's titled, "The Democrats Are Completely Collapsing." While I have great respect for Steve Turley's insights and research abilities, keep in mind that he prides himself on always taking the positive approach when viewing the political battles we MAGA people find ourselves constantly involved in these days. I'm not sure if I agree with most of what Turley is seeing regarding the reported troubles the Democrats are struggling with currently as they fight to defeat the MAGA agenda and take back control of the federal government. Still, there are interesting points being made here, so take a look and decide for yourself if we are actually witnessing what for me is their, I'm sorry, if we're actually witnessing the destruction of the Democratic Party, especially with what for me is their key source of power these days, the rigging of so many of our elections in various ways across the country, for which very few of them have actually been caught or prosecuted.
What if I told you that the Democrat Party is facing the most catastrophic collapse in modern American history, and their own voters are fleeing by the millions? This isn't hyperbole. This is hard data, all showing an unprecedented political meltdown happening right before our very eyes. The Democrats have officially begun to crack. They're turning on each other over the Schumer shutdown disaster. And as a result, we're witnessing something extraordinary. The complete breakdown of party unity, voter loyalty, and leadership credibility. Make sure to stick with me to the very end of this video because the numbers are absolutely staggering. And they all show one thing, a political party that is in a total and irreversible freefall. Hey gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your patron professor, here to help you make sense of the madness as the far left desperately tries to stop the unstoppable rise of a new conservative age that you're making happen all over the world. So if you want a front row seat on how you're changing the world in ways you never even imagined, you know what to do. Make sure to smack that bell and subscribe button. Let's start with the latest signs of a mass Democrat crack up. The Schumer shutdown has backfired spectacularly. The latest New York Times poll shows that 65% of Americans say that the Democrats should not force a shutdown, even if their demands aren't met. Only 27% support the Democrat position. Among independents, the voters who decide elections, only 32% think Democrats should shut down the government. So once again, as we pointed out yesterday, the Democrats are on the wrong side of another 80-20 issue. In other words, they planted their flag on a side that doesn't get more than 20 or 30% support. So congressional Republicans are frankly just sitting back, buttering the popcorn, and watching the Democrats flail in their desperate and futile attempt at explaining to 70 or 80% of the nation why they're wrong. It's obviously not going to work. And we're already seeing the Democrats starting to turn on each other. Case in point, we had a little bit of a marriage meltdown on MSNBC between the ultra-repulsive Mika and Joe. It appears that the Schumer shutdown is causing some strain in their marital relationship. Check this out.
I also just don't understand why we're blaming the Democrats for Republicans lying. At the highest level of office, they have the biggest megaphone. They have TV networks that repeat the lies and say things on those networks with no consequence. And the things they say are violent. Okay, so they're not only repeating the lies, but adding to this coarseness. Yeah. And there's no consequence to it. And we're blaming the Democrats? Yeah. We're blaming the Democrats for this. What exactly are the Democrats supposed to do?
You keep repeating. They're supposed to fight back.
Yes.
They're supposed to know. They're
and
supposed
lie
to
as
do
well?
What Bill,
like what exactly?
No. Bill Clinton just completely abused and used Republicans and every government shutdown. I know I was there. He was smart enough politically to do it. Barack Obama knew how to always get the best of Republicans. All right? We're not blaming Democrats for Republicans' lies. We're saying the Democrats at some point have to figure out how to answer those lies. And that's not whining. The whining comes from Democratic leaders that still don't have an answer to Republican lies 10 years into Donald Trump's terms.
Chen, how do we answer the lies?
Yeah. In other words, shut up, Mika. Shut up, Mika. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. I mean, seriously, you can see it in her face the entire time. I mean, that is a perfect picture of the old maxim, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. But that said, you know, at least Sleazy Joe recognized that whining is not a viable political strategy. Sorry, Mika. I mean, complaining and bitching about the Republicans steamrolling over the Democrats is not a viable political strategy. But unfortunately for Sleazy Joe, he doesn't seem to realize this ain't the 1990s no more. This isn't the Obama era no more. We are living in the midst of a fundamental political realignment that completely overturns the old Democrat playbook. Both Clinton and Obama were able to rely on a sympathetic legacy media that advocated on their behalf and still exercised inordinate influence over public opinion. Those days are over. We live in a very different society today where our collective hyperconnectivity into the internet enables the vast majority of the electorate to bypass the legacy media and access information for ourselves. So the legacy media has now effectively been reduced to talking to their fellow Democrats, and not even that many of them, because even fellow Democrats are starting to turn their backs on both the media and the party. Case in point, here's the latest from Anna Kasparian and the Young Turks.
And one more point on all those polls. Even though Democrats' numbers are low, when you ask people, who do you prefer, a Democratic senator or a Republican senator? We did it in the six battleground states, which were +2, +3 overall, so it's not a Democratic or independent survey. 47-39, they prefer Democrats. And in a couple of the races where we have the two candidates, we win.
Do you really? Because according to the polling, Democrats are in a lot of trouble. And I mean a lot of trouble. Now, Republicans are losing some favorability. You're seeing a dip in the polling. But once you put Democrats up against Republicans on specific issues, the Republican Party is enjoying a pretty significant lead. And that is according to the latest. There are multiple polls, but the latest one is from Reuters and Ipsos. And here is what the findings indicate. The public trusts Republicans' plan to address crime to the Democrats by 20 points, 40% to 20%. I'm gonna just pause to maybe discuss this a little more. There was a person in the media, if I recall, someone who was a Democrat her entire life, registered Democrat her entire life, who saw this coming from a mile away, who talked about how crime in the big cities was going to make people turn away from the Democrats and no longer trust them in the handling of crime issues. And that person was smeared pretty viciously.
Yeah.
That person was me. And I would just like to ask all those people who engaged in those smear tactics, do you feel good about where the Democratic Party is on this issue today? Do you think that the average American voter is just stupid and imagined crime and is basing their, you know, opinion on this on hallucinations? Or could it be that there were actually real problems that weren't being addressed by the Democrats? People were being gaslit by the Democrats on those issues. And as a result, people are going to trust the Republican solutions way more than the, I guess, the lack of solutions from the Democrats.
And she's absolutely right on that. Again, this is the 80-20 doom loop that the Democrats are caught up in. All of their positions, every single one, from their stance on open borders to siding with illegal aliens, siding with violent criminals in our cities, trans athletes in sports, and now on a government shutdown, precisely because the Republicans won't fund health care for illegal aliens. I mean, every single one of these issues puts the Democrats on the side of the most radical 20% and therefore alienates them from the 80% common sense consensus. So it's technically known as de-alignment in political theory, where the vast majority of the country simply turns its back on, it de-aligns itself from a party that they see as no longer representing their values, interests, and concerns. The Democrat Party is increasingly seen as the party of the donor class. They are, in effect, parasites. They feed off of our tax dollars solely to enrich themselves and increase their own power and affluence.
Lastly, from our video presentations today, I'm showing the bulk of a recent podcast episode of the Stephen Gardner Show on YouTube.com. This show, like the others on today's program, is also from early October. In it, host Stephen Gardner discusses and comments upon the recent revelation that some 274 FBI agents were among the January 6, 2021 rioters who later entered the U.S. Capitol building. Former New York City Mayor and federal prosecutor Rudy Giuliani, another victim of the vicious Biden administration lawfare campaign against Trump and his supporters, and others have long contended that the federal government had undercover agents and operatives embedded with the J6 demonstrators at the Capitol building that day, along with Antifa provocateurs also dressed as Trump supporters. Watch and listen to Gardner's narrative and decide for yourself if this was a setup. A colossal setup and propaganda coup that played into the hands of wicked Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, and other Democrats and the political left in general. This is something we must all be cautious about whenever participating in any kind of political demonstration or protest.
Imagine this, a nation raw from an election that felt stolen, gathers peacefully to voice outrage. Families, workers, patriots, drawn not by violence, but by a desperate cry for truth. Then chaos erupts, barricades breached, chants turn to clashes, and suddenly the full might of the federal machine descends. Lives shattered in its wake, thousands arrested, branded insurrectionists, jobs torched, reputations incinerated. Families torn asunder by dawn raids and show trials. We were told it was our darkest hour, a mob's unhinged fury fighting against democracy itself. But we were gaslit, lied to from the highest pulpits, manipulated by shadows pulling strings we weren't able to see, made to feel like villains for questioning the election, shamed into silence while the media megaphone blared insurrection. All right, fast forward to today. The veil has been ripped off. We are now learning that the FBI had embedded 274 plainclothes FBI agents. A bombshell report just leaked, proving all of this. Now, this wasn't just responders to the situation. These agents were woven into the very fabric, mingled with patriots in order to manipulate them into going into the Capitol, destroying the Capitol, and causing chaos. This wasn't organic rage. This was meticulously crafted psyops orchestrated under FBI Director Christopher Wray, turning law enforcement into provocateurs instead of helping the community. They were destroying it in the name of the Democrat Party. The insurrection was a total setup. The real crime? They betrayed us. They betrayed us. And now, with Christopher Wray's predecessor, James Comey, freshly indicted for his own web of deceit, the rot runs deep. Wake up, America. We're being lied to, and I'm going to go through all of the details with you today. First came the gaslighting. The media and FBI spun January 6 as a Trump-orchestrated coup, dismissing his prior peaceful rally as irrelevant. We will now peacefully and patriotically march to the Capitol to make our voices heard. This narrative gaslit millions of Americans, ignoring the organic frustration of a disputed election. The human toll? Over 1,200 prosecutions, millions of dollars in wasted money, and heartbreak as some committed suicide instead of facing these fake allegations. Families and businesses were destroyed. Reputations burned to the ground. Now contrast that with the 2020 Summer of Love, where actual buildings and businesses were destroyed. Here comes the smoking gun. A 50-page FBI action report released by the Oversight Committee revealed that there were 26 FBI informants in the crowd. We thought, oh my gosh, they said zero, it's 26. Well, now with this new leak, we're realizing it was more than 10 times that, 274 FBI agents. Let me show you President Donald Trump's reaction. Now, keep in mind, Democrats, the mainstream media, the left, everyone on the left tried to craft a narrative that President Trump secretly met with and crafted a takeover of the United States government with help from the Proud Boys. All of that has now been exposed as a giant lie. But let me show you exactly what President Trump had to say about this situation. He said over on Truth Social, it was just revealed that the FBI had secretly placed against all rules, regulations, protocol, and standards 274 FBI agents into the crowd just prior to and during the January 6th hoax. This is different from what Director Christopher Wray stated over and over again. That's right. As it now turns out, FBI agents were at and in the January 6th protest, probably acting as agitators and insurrectionists, but certainly not as law enforcement officials. I want to know who each and every one of these so-called agents are and what they are up to now since this historic day. Many great American patriots were made to pay a very big price only for the love of their country. I owe this investigation of dirty cops and crooked politicians to them. Christopher Wray, the then director of the FBI, has some major explaining to do. That's two in a row, Comey and Wray, who got caught lying with our great country at stake. We can never let this happen to America again. Wow. Powerful words from President Trump. All of the people whose lives you destroyed, I owe it to them to now get to the truth. So I predict we are about to see Christopher Wray hauled before Congress, and they are going to light him up. They are going to rip him a new one. We deserve truth. And every Democrat and every mainstream media piece of crap needs to apologize to us. This was a psyop. This was a special operation against conservative voters, against anybody that likes President Trump. And now, Steve Sund, the police chief, that said all of this leads back to Nancy Pelosi and others for this cover-up, for this psyop. General Mark Milley, those that blocked the National Guard, those that tried to lie and say Trump never offered them. Well, my friend John Fawcett over at the Great America Show, he was able to get Chief Steve Sund to come out of retirement. He hasn't talked about this in years. Listen to what he had to say about this new revelation.
Let me ask you this, because to me, on January 6th, you are Chief Steven Sund. You are head honcho. You are king of the Capitol. You know, it's your responsibility. It's your role to you know, make sure everything's tied down. And you obviously did your job by trying to do your diligence beforehand and were stifled at every single moment, right? So to me, it seems now I'm not a career law enforcement guy. I have never been in law enforcement. I probably will never be in law enforcement. To me, as just a pedestrian, it seems like if I'm the FBI, if I'm the federal government, I'm going to pick up the phone and say, hey, chief, just want to let you know, we know January 6th is supposed to maybe get a little bit crazy. We'll have 300 agents there for you. There'll be plain clothes. There'll be some guys not in plain clothes. Is that a rational thing for me to be thinking that, hey, we'll pick up the phone and say, hey, chief, you'll have 300 guys there if you need them. Here's your point of contact for January 6th. Let us know if you need anything else.
Well, take it a step further. If they were saying that they were going to have that group in the crowd already, most likely what they'd do is they'd put a liaison up in my command center. I mean, if you're going to have that type of assets and resources deployed onto someone's jurisdiction, you're going to put somebody in their command center. So that's key.
Wow. You guys, this is more and more looking like Nancy Pelosi, General Mark Milley, other people that run the police. They knew that all of this energy was going to descend into Washington, D.C., over a million people. And the plan was to incite them to such fervor that they would go do crazy things. And when they couldn't, they started doing the vandalism and the damage and the chanting and the yelling, let's go into the Capitol. Let's destroy these people. I'm just going to show you some old footage. I believe that this is an FBI guy in plain clothing who is destroying the Capitol. And once he realizes he's being filmed And a true MAGA patriot is like, don't destroy the building. He immediately starts gaslighting and lying and trying to make this guy look guilty. Check this out.
Do not go in there.
A radio journalist from Michigan was shooting video that day at the Capitol. What he captured were two most charitably called suspicious actors, but they are dressed in such a way that led him to believe that they were government agents. And one of them, after the windows had been broken by a protester, it was encouraging people to pull the rest of the glass out and go inside. Bobby Powell, who was the journalist that had shot it, and he has his camera rolling, he told him that would be illegal and that wouldn't be a good idea.
They don't care. They don't care. All they wanted to do was make MAGA look crazy, like they wanted to kill people. It's exactly the trap they wanted people to fall into.
He warned people off not to go into that window. And then he turned his camera around and he caught this agent or suspicious actor pulling a large pane of glass out, this tempered glass. It kind of folds into itself, crunch onto the ground. When he realized he was being filmed, he quickly dropped it. It seems apparent on the video that he did not want to be seen doing what he just did.
Of course he didn't. They needed somebody in a red MAGA hat to be doing it. Somebody draped in love of the American flag.
So he pulled in a protester and started blaming him. So what are you doing breaking that window? The poor fellow that was being accused didn't know what was going on.
Do not go in there. Don't break this. What are you doing? And then what does he do? You did this. Get out of here. And the guy's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So that goes on to basically just show you everything that I explained to you. I mean, this is just crazy that we were gaslit so hard. Now, as a reminder, people were attacked. They threw sound grenades, percussion grenades behind people. Flashbang grenades behind people. They shot rubber bullets into the crowd. Why? To make people scared and mad and to push them forward with agents yelling from behind, go into the building, go into the Capitol. Hundreds of agents slowly pushing people. Meanwhile, the cops are shooting. I watched one video where a guy literally had his lips blown off with a rubber bullet. He did nothing to the police. This was about invoking a reaction that could be captured on camera. Now, the J6 committee, they knew all of this. They lied to us. And then they crafted a made-for-TV show trial where all they had was a bunch of Trump-hating Republicans and Democrats and two Trump-hating Republicans, which both lost their seat, Kinzinger and Cheney. And they knew that they lied, and then they destroyed evidence. So it really does make me kind of wonder, like, why on earth did all of those people suddenly need a magic pardon from Joe Biden's auto pen? If they're so innocent, and they're so good, and they're so noble, why did they need a pardon about everything that they did on January 6th? And the evidence they destroyed and the manipulation and the lying, it's because they knew that this stuff would come out. Now, I believe former FBI Director Christopher Wray knew about this operation. And if nothing else, he later learned that there were hundreds of FBI agents in the crowd that behaved badly, and this would reflect poorly on the reputation of the FBI. And President Trump nailed it. Oh my gosh. Two in a row, Comey and Wray, the way that they are trying to destroy the United States of America. But Congressman Higgins, he was on to them. He knew that there were people being bussed in. Check out what he had to say.
He said he was communicating with his FBI handler while people were entering the U.S. Capitol. Can you confirm that the FBI had that sort of engagement with your own agents embedded within to the crowd on January 6th?
If you are asking whether the violence at the Capitol on January 6th was part of some operation orchestrated by FBI sources and or agents, the answer is emphatically
not. You're saying
not.
No?
No.
You're saying
not
no? Okay.
Violent.
Oh, the answer is no. There were none. How dare you question Congressman Higgins? How dare you?
Orchestrated by FBI sources or agents.
Are you familiar with you know what a ghost vehicle is? Director of the FBI certainly should. You know what a ghost bus is?
A ghost bus?
Ghost bus.
I'm not sure I've used that term before.
Okay. Well, it's pretty common in law enforcement. It's a vehicle that's used for secret purposes. It's painted over. These two buses in the middle here, they were the first to arrive at Union Station on January 6th. 0500. I have all this evidence. I'm showing you a tip of this iceberg.
Mr. Chair.
So at 5 a.m., out of nowhere, these unmarked buses roll in and people start pouring out of them in regular clothes, not MAGA clothes, not American flags, not your normal stuff, just regular keep me warm clothes at 5 in the morning to start being mixed into the crowd naturally. So these ghost buses roll in. The director says, how dare you? How dare you say that? And let me show you another video of Christopher Wray denying FBI involvement.
How many individuals were either FBI employees or people that the FBI had made contact with were in the January 6th entry of the Capitol and surrounding area?
So I really need to be careful here talking about where we have or have not used confidential human sources.
Was there one or more? Was there one or more individuals that would fit that description on January 6th that were in or around the Capitol?
I believe there is a filing in one of the January 6th cases that can provide a little more information about this, and I'm happy to see if we can follow back up with you.
I just want an answer. Was there one or more? I mean, you would know if there was at least one individual who worked for the FBI who entered the Capitol on that day.
I just can't speak to that here, but I'm happy to get the court filing.
I can't tell you whether there's one because there was 274. There wasn't one.
In 2 years. So I'm going to make the assumption that there was more than one, more than five, more than 10.
That those who were there in an undercover capacity on January 6th, how many were there?
I'm not sure that I can give you that number as I sit here. I'm not sure there were undercover agents on scene.
I thought I heard you say you didn't know whether there were FBI agents or informants or human sources in the Capitol or in the vicinity on January 6th. Did I misunderstand you? I thought that's what you said.
I referred very specifically to undercover agents.
Yeah. And so are you acknowledging that?
Oh, they weren't undercover. They were just plain clothed. You see the difference, America?
And there were undercover agents.
As I sit here right now, I do not believe there were undercover agents on scene. Were any assets? FBI agents.
Did you have any assets present that day in the crowd?
When it comes to what you're calling assets or what we would call confidential human sources, sure. That's a place where, again, I want to be careful, much as I said in response to an earlier question, there are court filings that I think speak to this that I'm happy to make sure we get to you, assuming they're not under seal. And that can better answer the question than I can as I sit here right now.
So he went on for about 5 hours gaslighting the American people. Most people saw through it, but at the end of the day, he stuck to his guns and didn't give us the information that we wanted. So he evaded the questions, hid behind the term open and active investigation. I've got to be careful about what I share here. Democrats would have you believe this day was worse than 9/11. The truth is, history will remember January 6th as the day the deep state staged a riot to cover up a stolen election. Unbelievable.
That's all for our show today. As always, we hope you found today's content of interest and value. You can watch and or listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted shortly here on the Jim Benson Show pages at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show. And elsewhere on the internet, including x.com at JamesB503091977. Also on Rumble.com and Apple Podcasts. While you're at it, if you visit my pages here at bbsradio.com, scroll down on my index page there at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show and check out our related videos section. Look for us again 2 weeks from today in this same time slot with another episode of our show. Have a great rest of your day and evening.